You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
We've seen what you can do. God of wonders, your power has no end. The things you've done before, in greater measure, you will do again. 'Cause there's no...
Welcome to Wednesday Live, a production of WCNO Christian Radio, sponsored in part by Treasure Coast Christian Alliance. David wrote in Psalm 145, verses 11 and 12, "They tell of the glory of your kingdom and speak of your might, so that all people may know of your mighty acts and the glorious splendor of your kingdom." That's the vision of Wednesday Live, to edify, inspire, to comfort, to encourage, and to bless you. Let's see what God has in store for us today.
Oh God of revival, let hope arise, death is overcome.
And good morning. Welcome to Wednesday Live. And it looks like the team is all here.
Yes.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah. We are here.
Team is all here, and we're all ready to move. And I even had a space for number three, which I don't think number three person showed up today. We don't have a number three person today. Oh, no. Number four.
We don't have a four.
We have a three, but we do not have a four. There we go. Right. Well, welcome. You are listening to WCNO in Palm City, Florida. And it's right now 11:02, and this is Wednesday Live. We come to you every week at this time, bringing you news and views and information in the kingdom of God that's important for the body of Christ to listen into.
Amen.
And so, Brother David, what's on your heart this morning?
Well, I'm just excited to be here. And, you know, one of the things we do is we read praise reports and we pray for people.
We do.
And I have one
here. Actually, you do? Really?
Yeah,
okay. Share with us.
And I can't, I don't know if you can read this writing.
Well, maybe Karen can read it.
Karen,
I mean, it might.
I think it might be a lady's, the name, the first name. Gianna.
You might want to just give me a second to read it.
All right. Well,
give her a second.
That,
this is from the mail.
This is from the mail.
Fresh from the mail, I might say. It just was opened not even 5 minutes ago.
Wow.
Yeah, very fresh.
So it's
it's fresh.
Still got that fresh feeling to it. And anyway, while Karen is discerning, we do have a prayer request for Robert. And Robert, and this was called into us, Robert was stung by 40 yellow jackets.
40.
Whoa.
40.
Oh my goodness.
And has definitely challenged his health. The doctors seem to be at a loss of how to treat him. But God isn't. So I'd like to lead us in a little prayer for Robert. Father God, we just lift your child Robert up to you. And every now and then, those who've been given healing gifts are stumped when someone brings a very challenging illness or injury to them. And we just pray, Father, for Robert. Ultimately, we're asking your Holy Spirit to move in his life, to bring your healing grace.
Amen.
To restore
mm-hmm.
him, Father, course through his
Thank
body,
you,
that your Spirit would take away all venom that has been pumped into his body by these yellow jackets, and to completely restore any parts that have been damaged by that. We know that you're going to do this in the spirit realm, but we pray also the doctors would be able to see your hand at work in Robert's life, and perhaps even you'll lead them to be a part of the treatment. But ultimately, we give you grace and glory. We give you glory for your grace, Lord God, in healing our brother Robert. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
And
amen. So that was the prayer request.
Yeah.
And if If someone wants to give us updates on that, that would be great, because we received this the other day, and so we wanted to lift that up, of course. And Karen, what do you have?
Okay, so I have deciphered the little note from, this is from our friend Janine in Lantana.
Janine, okay.
And Janine said, "I'm glad the towers are all working again."
Oh, that's right, because we did have an issue.
Yeah,
we did.
Can't miss my ride on the Bible bus. So we know she loves Dr. McGee.
Right.
Yes, definitely. Well, Janine, that's great for you calling back in. And she may have been, there was a couple people that called us that day when we quit broadcasting, not intentionally, but one was Connie. Our beloved Connie in Okeechobee.
Thank you, Connie.
Thank you, dear.
For listening and for being our watch lady.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Watch lady on the wall.
Yep.
And I have
another?
Yes,
okay.
Another note here from Winifred. And she says, "I pray that the Lord bless you and keep you always as you continue to carry out his good work.
I love it.
I love you all. God bless you all in the name of Jesus."
Mm-hmm. Hallelujah.
Well, amen.
That's pretty awesome. Totally. It's pretty awesome. So that's a little bit from the mailbag, and that was pretty great. I left yesterday. Normally Tuesdays we don't really get mail. I came back. We had a whole stack of mail, and that was pretty great. And, you know, we sometimes have notes and sometimes don't. Sometimes prayer request. Karen, if someone had a praise report or prayer request, how can they get that to us quickest?
Well, you could actually call and leave a voicemail if nobody picks up. Or
talk to somebody if they do pick up. Because we are live here, actually.
Right. Real people.
Aiden, have we put you on the phone yet to where you had to, you know, where you had the opportunity to answer calls and...
No.
You haven't done that yet. Okay. No. Aiden is our intern. Hello, Aiden. I didn't welcome you.
Hi.
Okay. And Karen's telling us how to get prayer requests in.
Yes, and you can go to the website, WCNO.com, and look over on the left-hand side. It has in the
options.
Column. Yeah. Look for prayer and click on that. It'll, little form will open up. You can fill in your name and your prayer requests. And you can also use that if you have a comment, anything. Anything you'd like to tell us or ask us?
Yeah, if you want to say what a great job Dave is doing, or
that's right.
Maybe Ma and Paul. Most people love Ma and Paul, you know.
That's
are
right.
We going to hear from them today?
I believe so. They're coming in and be in any time.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that'll be a good thing. So you can, of course, call us, and we'd love to get your phone calls. And sometimes... Dave, we have people call in, they say, "I just heard a song. What is that song that just played?"
Yeah.
Or they might say, "I heard a song the other day, and I loved it. Can you tell me the name of it?" And they'll say, "I heard it the other day."
And that, well, all we know then is at some point in your past,
there was a song.
Yeah.
But by the time you were cognitive and able to use speech, that you heard this song.
Right.
It doesn't help us track it down.
We're talking to all of our wise listeners now.
Exactly.
They probably take note of time and date and stuff like that.
Yes. What we need to know is, what if it wasn't that particular day you're calling, then what day of the week actually was it? And what time of day was it?
Yes.
Because, you know, we do on 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. If God adds another day, we'll be on that day.
But, if there's an eighth day.
Yeah, but so what we need to know is as specific information as you can. If you're hearing it, while you're hearing it, you want to write down this data. That'll be helpful. Okay, day and time, and then was it a male or female vocalist or a group or an instrumental?
There you go.
You know, and if there's a recurring, usually the title of a song recurs, and if you have that recurring phrase or word or whatever, that might help us nail it down. The ones we're very successful in finding for people are when they get the time close, and you know, of course,
I mean, like within a day.
Within a day, yeah.
No, like an hour. Like
within an hour, okay. Yeah. Or if they say it's playing right now.
Exactly.
That's right. Easier.
Because, and we have found songs by the grace of God that people say, well, 3 or 4 days ago. They gave us a recurring phrase, which is probably the title, and they did know if it was a male or female or whatever. So we were able to track it down, but it was truly the Holy Spirit.
Mm.
know, because otherwise.
You know, and most people have cell phones now.
Yeah.
So another thing you can do is, like me, if you're driving and you hear a song, and there's inevitably I'll hear something, I'm like, I didn't know we had that on there.
Yeah.
So I'll, even though I may not know the name of it, so I will turn my cell phone on to, like, I'm going to record a video.
Yeah.
And I just hold it up.
Oh, you record, know, a piece of it.
Just a little piece, because it registers in your phone, you know, the time and the date.
Yeah.
So you don't have to, you can just, like, I record maybe, like, 20, 30 seconds of it, so I can kind of get the gist of it. But once you know the date and the time, you're good.
Yes, even though your clocks and hours are maybe off by a few minutes, you know. Or you, which
could be
discerning as kind of a generic sense of, well, it's in the first half hour or the second half hour.
Aiden, did you notice that Karen used the word inevitably?
Yes.
She's used it like three times this morning.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it's a prophetic word, but, you know, I'm just wondering if we're supposed to get that word this morning.
I see.
Yes. Yeah.
But yeah,
we'll see.
We'll see if that comes out. But
it's inevitable.
I was going to say something about our awesome family. When we find a song for them, have you noticed how excited and thankful our family always is?
Yes.
It's almost as if they're shocked that I could actually find a song. You know, it's like, and it's like I hear angels sing, la, you know, we have all that stuff going off when we do it. But we love to hear from you, and it's awesome to get your calls. And sometimes they'll drop a little tidbit like, you know, I've been listening for 29 years, you know, and like,
yeah, right.
Oh, wow. You know, that's pretty amazing. And we do have people that do that as well. So that's all cool. But, anyhow, it's good to have you all joining us this morning, and looks like Ma and Paul are dragging themselves through the door and showing up here about now. I don't take it personal, Ma and Paul. I mean, it's not as if you're creeping like turtles this morning. You actually made it into the studio, and that is quite awesome. Before we go to Ma and Paul this morning, Aiden, tell us a little bit about your vacation. You are back off vacation.
Yes.
What happened? You left us. You were gone.
Yes. I flew to Oklahoma to go see my dad. And while I was there, I got to see some friends. And we just hung out and did some fun stuff. So it was really great.
Excellent. Excellent. And so we're going to call you Intern Aiden. And that means that you have a name for that. What do you say that means when you're an intern?
Internship?
Yeah, I mean, you had some word for it.
The first internship, guinea pig is what I called it.
Yeah, well.
He came in with the understanding that he was coming in as a guinea pig because we said, you're the first one ever, at least in my tenure here at WCNO as an intern, but we're going to have more interns down the road, and it's going to be a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. And so I told Aiden early on that he was going to open the door up,
yes,
you know, for all of these other people that are going to come along and want to be a part of maybe media, some aspect of ministry. And so have you seen, have you learned anything? What are your thoughts so far?
Is definitely very interesting, and I've learned some about the filing. I just today learned about the generator in the back that has to be run, and I learned with Karen how to download some songs and other programs and stuff, so that was cool.
Really? You mean she took you into the inner sanctum where you open up the files and you reach out and grab songs from iTunes and stuff?
Yes.
Excellent. Did you put a couple songs in?
Not really. We just...
Wasn't... Not even one new song?
Just kind of an overview so that he has some...
Intro.
Yes.
Ammunition for when he comes in again.
Yes.
And what was your homework today? Just because we have listeners that want to know.
Like
your mom.
Yes, she's making notes.
Your mom is like, okay, let's see how Aiden does. Let's listen. How is his voice? His voice is getting deeper on the radio.
So I did a report on a paper that you gave to me.
Okay. And what was your conclusion from that?
There definitely good content in it. It talked about being interviewed.
Okay.
And it talked about basic groundwork, defining the messages. So, like, you must be clear on what you want to present, communicate, anticipating the questions. So, like, if they're going to ask you a question, you should do your best beforehand to guess.
A little preparation.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
And then practice these questions. It seems very simple, but it is true. You must practice. Mm. Practice makes perfect. So, and then fighting stage fright. That is also very important.
I didn't think about that, Dave.
I didn't either.
Where do we fight that anyway? Stage fright. That's true. I think public speaking... someone said, you know, maybe next to dying, it's the most feared thing. and we haven't scheduled dying next, Aiden, just so you know that. It's not on our schedule.
Good. That's today, no,
Aiden, as long as you don't try to visualize over 7 million people that may be listening in while you're speaking, you're okay.
Yeah, well, thanks for that.
Okay, so, so there's preparation and then there's stage fright. Okay, what else do you get?
Well, for fighting stage fright, one of the things you can do is get there early and kind of talk with the people a little bit beforehand. Mm-hmm. It kind of helps comfort you. And then they also brought tips and tricks. For example, when you're on camera, you should not wear a white shirt because the white shirt like pales your face and your skin. And also be professional, obviously. So
I need to learn that.
Yeah.
I like white shirts. I'm going to have to change my habits.
Well, and that's a brand of shirt, too, isn't it?
It is. Yeah. Yes, Habit's a brand of shirt that I wear, too. Yeah,
it's. Wow. We're getting deep here.
Yes. Very.
And then body language. They said you should lean into a little bit, like lean into the people who you're talking to.
Okay.
And not just be very stiff.
Although, to show interest and interaction.
Yes, exactly.
Yep. Participation. Yep, good.
Too loose, obviously, because then that shows disrespect.
Good.
And then last but not least, during the interview, you need to make punchy and concise statements as well as keep eye contact. That is very important.
Ah, very good. Very good.
Don't conflate that sentence and punch somebody in the eye. You got to be careful. It's part of the learning process.
Yeah. Well, I am looking forward to some upcoming interviews that we have, and I'm hopeful, Aiden, that you'll be able to be with us for those. But we are looking in the very near future to have an author with us whose parents were both survivors during the days of the Holocaust. And so a delightful Jewish lady. And I don't know if her husband will join, but we're looking forward to that interview. And hopefully you can be a part of that. Mm-hmm. Well, Ma and Pa is now here. So why don't we, without further ado, let's jump right in here. And it looks like I found a part for myself, which is the narrator.
It was inevitable.
It was inevitable, yes. Uh-huh. We haven't heard much about Ma and Paul's family, if you've noticed. For the most part, their family is much like anyone's. Their parents have passed, but all their siblings are living. Some aunts and uncles are still around, along with plenty of cousins. Our story today involves Ma's brother, Earl. Now, Earl was always a rebel. Some families have members like this. They're always in trouble. They're given plenty of help to get on the right path, but they are beguiled by the forbidden fruit of evil deeds. Earl's history is littered with the smoking debris of bad choices. Coming from a Christian family, he knew they were praying for him, but this knowledge only seemed to drive him deeper into the darkness. He was running away from God, although he wouldn't have admitted this was true. His rebellion brought him into the company of evil men whose demonic activities enthralled him into a life of crime. Inevitably, he was caught. I lost the studio. He was caught, tried, and sentenced to several years in prison. It was there in what many would conceive of as a city of the damned that God finally caught up with Earl. While most of Earl's family turned their backs on him, Ma remained hopeful for Earl's salvation and stayed in touch with him as best she could. She has something to share with Paul today, and she already knows the content of her sharing will be a hard challenge for him.
Paul, are you in the house?
Yeah, but you don't have to yell, Ma. I'm just in the kitchen filling up my thermos. I want me some coffee while I'm working in the barn.
I get that, Pa. You sure you don't want me to brew you some fresh coffee? That stuff's been sitting there in the pot for a couple hours.
Not really. I like it strong. And I need every one of my brain cells standing up at attention this morning. I'm going to drop the transmission on my pickup and do a little fix-up.
I thought you were going to take your truck to old Clyde Feldman down at Tip Top Transmissions and let him do that work for you.
Well, I was, till he told me how much he was going to charge for the work. Why, it's nearly $3,000. I figure I know enough about mechanical stuff to get the job done here. And besides, you know how much chicken feed we can buy for $3,000?
Yeah, a lot of it, I imagine. But listen, Pa, if you wait a little bit, there's someone coming that might be able to help you.
Someone coming? Someone that knows something about fixing transmissions? I don't know anybody like that, Ma. I mean, if I did, I'd already give them a call. Who do you know that I don't?
Well, what I've been meaning to tell you is, Earl is coming for a visit.
Earl? You mean there's some royal guy from England who's a transmission mechanic and he's coming here for a visit?
No, Pa. I guess I've been dreading telling you about this.
Well, who do we know in England who's an earl? I mean, I ain't ever met no royalty. Unless you count old Gunther Stobles, who claims to be the king of the used car salesman.
No, Pa. Like I said, I've been dreading telling you this because I know how you feel about my brother Earl.
Wait, you're talking about that Earl? You mean that low-life, no-good, scabrous, useless brother of yours what got himself into prison?
Now, Pa.
Your evil, no-account brother's coming here to this farm, and you're just now telling me this?
Pa, like I said, I know how you feel about Earl, and I was taking the time to find just the right words.
Right words? What kind of words would take the stink off of that skunk? What kind of words would lighten up the darkness of his black soul? Well, your brother is coming here, and I'm just now hearing of it. Me, the head of this household, is just now getting the breaking news of your brother's expected visit.
Pa, I'm so very sorry I didn't tell you earlier, but I wanted you to know how much Earl has changed since he went to prison.
Oh, wow. Well, I'm sure he's changed. I mean, once he was in there, he buddied up with all them other criminals like him. Why, he learned more for his larcenous trade. So when he did get out, he could commit crimes with a higher degree of professionalism.
Pa, that's not what I mean. Look, every time I tried to tell you about Earl, you shut me down. Over and over again, I tried to fill you in on his receiving Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior.
Oh, Ma, all them prison inmates tell folks that because it looks good to the parole board. I'll bet he joined AA and learned to knit, too. Oh, and maybe he took a gardening class and planted petunias in the prison yard. Ma, he's always been a liar, a cheat, and a thief. He just told you what you wanted to hear.
Pa, you know, I visited him in the prison on occasion, and I remember the old Earl, but since he's met Jesus, he's truly a new man.
He met Jesus, huh? Well, Jesus better check for his wallet, because old Earl's got it under the mattress in his cell, I'll bet.
Oh, all right, Pa. I get it that you remember Earl from years ago. And sure, he was hell-bent back then.
Ma, when he was 13, he stole your daddy's dentures and pawned them for money to buy drugs. Then he took his daddy's truck and drove it to the front end of a jewelry store, took all them necklaces, rings, and such.
Yes, he did that.
But... And when he was in his 20s, he stole cars for a chop shop. He stole motorcycles, too. Why, he even carjacked a bus full of nuns.
Pa, I know he didn't live a godly life. We were always worried sick over what he might do.
Oh, like that time during the Christmas parade when he knocked out a Shriner and stole his go-kart?
Yes, Pa. All that and more. Back then, Earl was doing evil things. We've already established that. But like I said, Pa, I've been visiting him in prison, and when he told me he accepted Jesus, I already knew it because his attitude was so different.
Well, of course, Ma. He was being watched by all them guards.
Pa, I spent many visits since he came to Christ, getting to know the new Earl. He has changed. He ain't angry anymore, and all his hateful ways been put behind him. He's been working with the prison chapel, and I got to talk to the chaplain, and he believes Earl's conversion is real, too.
Well, all I remember is the Earl always got into trouble and hurt folks.
Well, you know what? I remember another man who got into trouble from time to time. He was good at lying and getting angry and hurting feelings, and who got drunk a lot.
Oh, you're talking about your other brother, right?
No, Pa, talking about you. But you met Jesus, and your whole life changed, didn't it?
Well, I guess it did. He did change me, for sure.
So why can't Earl change? Pa, I've seen him, and he is a new man. I want you to see him, too, and get to know the Earl that Jesus has transformed. Please, Pa, please give him the benefit of the doubt.
Okay, Ma. I mean, if you feel so strongly about him, and you are a discerning person, I guess I'll give him a chance.
Great. Thank you.
Now, he didn't escape, did he?
No, of course not. He got paroled.
Okay. But look, I'm going to put all our valuables in the safe. And I'm going to move the safe out into the woods and cover it up with brush so it don't look like a safe. And maybe we ought to take the batteries out of all our vehicles.
Pa, none of that is necessary. Now just relax.
All right, Ma. But, you know, he'd better stay away from downtown while he's here. You know, that Shriner still ain't forgiven Earl for stealing his go-kart.
Well, when Jesus changes a life, it is often harder for family and friends to believe that that change is real. Those people hold memories of when we made life decisions using worldly direction. Bound by the strictures of evil, we established a pattern of living that remains in their memories. A true conversion to Christ will bear good fruit, and most people can discern the difference. Paul will find that Earl has truly changed. But he will only discover this truth when he begins a new relationship with his brother-in-law. New Christians need a lot of love and prayer support, especially if they have left damage and destruction in their wake before meeting Jesus. Think of this when you encounter one such person, and maybe remember how you were like before Jesus became your Lord. Just saying.
Just saying.
Just yes, saying. There we go.
We do forget, don't we?
My goodness.
Yeah. I talk to people all the time. And, you know, I'm sure I do it myself. But, you know, somehow we just can't get past other people that are still in sin and come to the Lord. And, you know, it's like we can't cut them any slack.
Just like the older brother in the prodigal son parable. Mm-hmm. You know, Jesus wasn't just talking about the young man having a conversion experience and recognizing the love of the Father that was drawing him. But the older brother comes back and he can't forget how nasty the younger brother was before he had his conversion experience. Mm-hmm. So it's about two sons, really.
Wow. That's a good point. That's a really good point.
So, Aiden, how old were you when you surrendered your life to Christ? Do you know?
I don't specifically remember. I think it was around 4 or 5, though.
4 or 5 years old. You just remember being surrendered to Christ, and so you did that. Okay. All right. That's pretty awesome. Pretty awesome. And you've been baptized?
Yes, I have.
Baptized. Excellent. Excellent. And were you baptized again?
I think maybe, but I'm not sure.
Weren't you down at a Sean Foyt thing or something? Or
all my siblings got baptized.
Oh, except you. Mm-hmm. You were sort of like a referee, or
I was helping mom with the other two little ones.
That's pretty great.
Oh, for the record, I have 5 siblings.
5.
Yes. 2 are toddlers.
As in
all younger than you.
Oh, yes. Younger. Yeah, you're the oldest. Then you're the oldest
in the house. Yes,
I am. The house,
okay. And not the shortest in the house either. No. No, there's some others, and all of the siblings are, they're handsome and gorgeous. I can say that for sure. Mm-hmm. We're going to go to a song. Karen, set this song up. What is this song about? Revival. Tell us about this.
Well, that's pretty much all I know. I was downloading some new music the other day, and I saw that song and said, "Let's just," because I'm going to be hearing it for the first time. I heard just the end of it, singing about revival. We need revival.
We do.
Only you can heal our land, and only you can make things right again. Come chase our wandering hearts, these prodigals we are. Don't wait. We wanna see revival. Bring us back to you. Oh, how we need you to. We wanna see revival. Oh, and only see revival.
The Treasure Coast Christian Alliance is a growing association of leaders from the business, civic, and ministry areas on the Treasure Coast of Florida. In these blessed communities, we reside, work, play, and pray together. Our mission is to encourage strong relationships among God's people through Holy Spirit-anointed fellowship. Leaders inspired to overcome barriers to Christian unity bring God's people together on the common ground of the gospel. For more information, visit us online at tccalliance.com or reach us at 772-324-9313.
That was pretty awesome, that cry for revival.
Mm-hmm. That's right. That's what is happening now. It seems that the church is really crying out for God to come and do something. Mm-hmm. Because without him, you know, we can't initiate anything. We can only cry out and ask him to come and renew us and fill us again and set us on fire and light that flame under us. Mm. We can't manufacture that in our flesh. Mm-hmm. And so the cry is for him to come and renew our hearts and our lives.
And I firmly believe, excuse me for coughing in your ears there, I firmly believe that God is doing this because this desire he put in our hearts. You know, God will tell you what to pray for, and this is something he wants us to get involved in and pray for. I would like to speak to all the people who believe that since God's going to do what he wants to do anyway, you don't have to do anything. That's not true. We're called to prayer. And then when God answers prayer, then the action that follows. Do not sit in the church on Sunday and think that you're the only one that doesn't have to do anything. Mm-hmm. You know, you're part of a team. Mm. So get on it.
The Lord's, you know, speaking to me about, you know, even in our own lives, we have to cry out individually for revival for ourselves. Mm-hmm. And then when the Lord, you know, sets us on fire, then we need to join with others who are also desiring that. And it needs to be vocalized, and it needs to be seen, and it needs to be heard. And I just feel like in the church just needs to open up for people to just cry out to God, to just open the doors and cry out to God without any program or anything. Just get in there and just start praying.
Amen. Well, yesterday in a moment of in-house reflection, we remembered a four-legged partner that would sit in our studio called Stumpy.
We did.
No, Stumpy's still with us.
Oh.
Stumpy's still with us, but he's not here in the studio.
But I thought you were going to make an announcement.
No.
Please don't do it.
No, you know, people ask about, you know, do we talk to Tom Creighton? Do we stay in touch? And we do. I try to talk to Tom at least a couple times a month, and he is doing well, and Stumpy is getting a little older, but we were talking about this whole aspect of revival and not sitting back, and we had a little discussion about Stumpy. Stumpy liked to, you know, sit on the seats around here, and that was, you know, he would sort of drag his tail feathers and, you know, warm our seats. Yeah. As he was, you know, in the studio.
After he scooted across the rug.
Yeah. Well, of course, you know, you have to do these things. But we did replace the carpet, just for those of you who are feeling a little grossed out at the moment. But we replaced the carpet. But, you know, we were talking about the fact that the enemy would love for all of us to be sitters, to be observers, to be watchers, and to maybe even be critics. And maybe even the enemy would like us to have a bit of a root of bitterness deep inside and say, somebody ought to do something.
Yes, right.
Why doesn't I love that song. You know, God, you ought to do something. God, when are you going to do something? God, what, you know, what are you going to do? And what does the song say? I made you.
Yeah,
I made
exactly.
You. Aiden, what is your thought for your generation? I mean, you're slightly younger than me. I mean, is there hope?
Yes, definitely.
Do you have vision to reach your generation?
It is a very important thing, because there was a statistic, I don't have it on me right now, but something like after 16, the amount of people who accept Christ significantly drops.
It does.
And the kids who were Christian, something like 2% make it out of college still Christians. So it is definitely very, very important to reach the younger ones. Sow seeds.
So that means that, you know, we who are older need to recognize that a major part of our job is to prepare the way for you all who are coming.
Yes.
And I feel very strongly about that. I met yesterday with a gentleman who is involved in mission work with Global University, and it's a university that equips and trains ministers, missionaries in other countries as well as in the United States, and has different levels of preparation. But there was a survey recently done with pastors, and in this survey there were questions: what do you see taking place over the next 10 years, 10 years from now? Do you see that there will be more men in ministry or more women in ministry? And almost everyone saying there's going to be more women in ministry. Because the trends are now that, and he talked about this, that there is a shortage of spiritual leadership in our nation. And you may not, if you're in a church and you see all the staff on stage, you may go, well, I don't see any shortage, you know, in the church. But there are churches that are being closed down because they cannot find a pastor. And what he was telling me was that and he mentioned a state, but in many states, this is the case where every year different, and these are denominational churches, that they are not able to find the staff to pastor. And he was talking about one church that had 67 or in the 60s of responses to this search looking for pastoral leadership. But it was a church that could offer full benefits and full salary and such forth and so on. And then there's another church that it would require dual. You know, you would have to be bivocational. And he was talking about co-vocational. And that's actually why he came here to meet with me, I believe, because he said, I think you're co-vocational. I'm like, co-vocational? What's co-vocational? But he said in the past, at least one-third of those in ministry are bivocational, probably much higher than a third. And it's because of finance. That many pastors cannot live on what the churches are able to pay them. And so, you know, male and female, this has taken place. And many pastors' families, the husband and wife both are pastors, and sometimes they pastor different churches just to make enough money to be able to meet their needs. And so he's talking about the bivocational, but then the co-vocational, he said, is a new emerging trend within the body of Christ, where people see God's gifted them and they are involved in different types of, some might say, well, it's a job or it's a career or something, but it is actually a part of God's sovereign plan to increase, expand the work of the kingdom by bringing the ministry gifts into the marketplace and bringing the marketplace into the kingdom, to where there is a co-partnership. And I just met him in a restaurant. He ended up stopping by here, and we talked for a while about that, and that was pretty exciting. But he said the number of pastors, senior pastors, it is an aging group.
Yes.
And it's a declining group as far as male, spiritual, senior pastors. It's aging and declining. Women, for the last 5 years, has been increasing the number of participants, and younger women are getting involved in ministry, and we see this lack. So, you know, we talk about revival and the cry for revival. That was, as I'm listening to this man speak about this survey, and I'd read the survey and I was familiar with it, I said, you know, when God called me, it had nothing to do with a paycheck. God didn't call me to look for a job in ministry. God called me to a city, to a region. I'm in this region because God called me here. Had nothing to do with paychecks. There was nobody in the church because God called us to start a ministry, you know. So, I mean, we didn't have people that said, hey, we'll pay you so much. No, it was a call of God. Mm-hmm. And somehow I believe in this revival there's going to be a return to the Holy Ghost, Spirit-filled, Amen. Spirit-empowered calling
Amen.
To ministry and service where it's not a career choice. It is a sovereign God choice, and we simply respond to it.
Amen.
What do you think?
I think that's the only way it can be. Mm-hmm. You know, that God calls you first,
yeah.
and he will sustain you. However,
in that,
he chooses to do that.
And I've been bivocational, vocational. I've been quad vocational, all while being in the ministry. And I can't tell you that I haven't... had the enemy attack me many times and say, well, if you were really called of God, why would you have to work? You know, as if work is bad, right?
Yeah. No.
But why would you have to work with these heathens out here? Well, maybe those heathens need Jesus. Maybe.
Mm-hmm. Kind of a, yeah. Now, see, I'm a dinosaur in that, you know, although God called me to be ordained and to be serving him in a church community for most of my life. But I was, you know, I was looking forward to being I was professional, as they call it, a paid professional Christian, you know. And I was salaried, and they paid for my benefits. But the whole paradigm shift now in the church is moving away from that. And, you know, I'm not going to, you know, pat myself on the back and say, well, I was one of the few clergy that actually had a call from God, because that's not true. But right. That model that I engaged in, even while I was in it, I saw that things were changing.
Yeah,
you know,
I believe God's called all of us.
We
just have different places where we're going to be assigned.
I'm kind of seeing that at the, you know, as a layperson, you know, we attend church, and then okay, there's the pastor up there, and the, you know, you get the few leadership, and then you know, the rest of us just sitting there. You know, and many of us were not called to the ministry, we're not called to full-time ministry or whatever, you know, maybe the fivefold. You know, so it's like the rest of us are just floundering, but, you know, it says in the Word that the, you know, the leaders should be discipling
equipping.
Us. Equipping us equipping, into right.
to do the work of
yes.
the ministry.
Yeah.
Mm. So if your
instead
work
instead of us sitting there watching
yeah.
the pastor every week, you know, yeah. and then leaving yeah. like, oh, okay, so that was nice.
That was
a great
yeah.
message and everything, but you know, it like you leave kind of empty.
It's sorry. Like you're all dressed up and nowhere to go.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
and that's the unfortunate paradigm of Christendom, which Christendom really is. Its time has come and gone in that, you know, the season of the church and looking at ministers as the ordained people.
Yeah, we're all to be ordained.
Exactly, yeah, like, you know, the separation.
My first ordination and yours was in baptism.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And then, okay, so that, you know, most
and
people...
And his too.
And his too, yes, yours too.
Yes.
As many times as you've been, you know, maybe, but no, the first, that because that's when it begins.
Mm.
And we need to, that whole, it's a, I tell you, it's a debilitating paradigm for the church that the only ministry is that which is done by the ordained, by the pastor,
yeah.
and the, so, because we're all ministers.
That's right.
And God is changing it so that we're starting to see that.
Exactly. Mm.
So what's happening in the church?
In the marketplace, yeah. So
you look at the stats in the church, and during COVID, so many people dropped
right.
out,
yeah.
right.
and there's a large number of them that are saying they're not coming back, like maybe 25% or something may not come back. And then if you look at the numbers over the last 10 years, church attendance continues to fall,
mm-hmm.
you know, in our nation. And even people who identify as being a Christian in our nation, those numbers have now slid below the 50% point.
Right.
And of course, a lot of those people maybe are Christian more in name than they are in relationship with God.
Yeah.
Well, let's get to this next song. And it's entitled Jesus. And who is this by, Karen?
This is Shirley Caesar.
Shirley Caesar.
Sydney lamb, Ferguson Promotions lamb, presents Grammy Award-winning Pastor Shirley Caesar. Saturday, October 16th, 7:30 p.m. at the Fort Pierce Sunrise Theater. The one and only Pastor Shirley Caesar. Tickets available at the box office and Sugar and Spice Soul Food Restaurant. For info, call 954-225-3583. Pastor Shirley Caesar, October 16th at the Fort Pierce Sunrise Theater.
Well, there we go. That is coming up very shortly. Yes. What can you tell us about that, Karen, that wasn't already there? I don't know if we can add anything to that.
Yeah, no, I don't know too much more than for those that love Shirley Caesar. I guess she's trying to think how the promoter was saying that she's the mother of gospel.
Something like that.
The mother of gospel music, I believe.
That's a powerful spot, really. I mean, that's quite...
And she's
quite
everywhere. I mean, I remember growing up, and then, you know, she was like the first gospel singer I think I ever heard.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, she's been around. Very.
She's going to be right here in the Treasure Coast of Florida, Fort Pierce, the 16th. That's coming up. And, of course, the Soul Food, Sugar and Spice Soul Food. Yeah.
That's right.
Sugar and Spice Restaurant. Our dear friend, Sydney Ferguson, who we have become quite fond of Sydney.
Yes.
And, you know, his time in and out of the station here. And I can speak from personal experience. That sweet potato pie is awesome. It's awesome. I didn't get to the oxtail yet. But fish, seafood, and other homemade specialties, let me tell you, you're gonna be happy you went there. My entire family, we were shocked. My wife said it was some of the most tender and tasty, juicy chicken that she's ever had.
Wow.
My son had pork chops, and he had one type of pork chop. I don't know how his were cooked. Mine was different. I had a pork chop as well, but the meat just fell off the bone. It was so delicious. And we had black-eyed peas. I'm trying to remember what all we had. Collard greens.
Oh my gosh.
I'd go there just for those.
My son's like, "Dad, you got to try this." I said, "No, I don't eat collard greens. Come on, just try this stuff."
So good.
You know, it tasted like soul candy to me.
Yeah.
It was delightful. It was delightful. Yeah, it was really good. So anyhow, those are some of our dear friends, and we just wanted to promote that a little bit. We have a couple minutes left, and we want to talk about prayer and share. Prayer and share is coming, David.
It is rumbling in our direction.
Rumbling in our...
You remember that scene in the Indiana Jones movie where he takes that little thing off the stand and the big boulder comes out? Well, that's kind of... But no, in a good way. This is exciting times. And I can't wait for us to get on the air with that. In the last couple of years, we've just had... It's been such a blessing. We hear from so many people. They're always so excited. About what, and you know, there are some folks that will tell you right now, we don't have the resources to, and we understand that, but you have a strong praise report about what God is doing for you and others through this ministry, and just wonderful people. We want to connect with you again.
And you said something really important, don't you think, Karen, when David said through this ministry, because we have others. You may say, well, I can't really contribute with a dollar or with finance, but others who are able to are blessed when they hear how God has touched your life through this ministry.
Amen.
And so that is really key. What about businesses? We have a lot of business owners that call in as well.
Oh, absolutely.
Make donations. And, you know, I want to just say a big thank you to, we had a number of businesses that stepped up. And Mr. Jim Higgins gave a challenge to businesses to make a $1,000 commitment. And I want to just ask you as a business owner to begin now to pray about that commitment that God's going to put on your heart. And, of course, you would have over the 6 months to give it, and we're not quite into prayer and share yet. That's actually going to start in October, the first couple weeks in October, full weeks. But in the meantime, we are getting the mail out together, right?
Just as we speak, we see part of it out in the front there.
Signs of the mail out are showing up.
The boulder is right here.
Thousands, thousands of envelopes. Paper cut season, you know, where I always get at least one or two paper cuts, you know, and not a lot of blood, Aiden. It's not dangerous, you know. All of us have survived this. Good. But
a paper cut can hurt much worse than a broken leg.
If you get a letter with little red spots on it, Jonathan probably did that.
Hey.
That's gross.
No, that is gross. We would throw that out.
Yes.
Right, Karen?
We do.
You would see to it, right?
Yes, both Sherry and I very
would see to it. Yeah, no blood on the envelope.
Right, no.
If there's blood on the envelopes, then it came from the shipping process, not from the prep process.
Not from anybody here. DNA test, and it would.
It's all going to be fresh off the press. But in all seriousness, we want to just thank all of you who make this ministry possible, and tell you as friends, partners, givers, prayer teams, churches, business owners, thank you for your support of this ministry. Now over 31 years, right?
over 30 minutes.
Over